morning.
Sarah likes certain pieces.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
We're at the bottom of Chaf Gimel Amud. Still up? Oh, man. Okay, hold on.
We're not on yet.
Thank you. Too many things to turn on. We're at the bottom of Makas Chaf Gimel Aleph. We'll start again from the Mishnah. We only did the first line yesterday, so we'll start from the beginning. Kol Chayove Krisos, any aver that you do that comes with a punishment of Kares, Shalaku, the person gets lashed for it, Niftaru Yedei Krisosom, he is exempted from the Kares that would come to him. How do we know this? Because after he gets the lashes, Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'nikla achicha, and your brother will be demeaned, le'enecha, before your eyes. That means he gets the lashes, and then it says he's demeaned before your eyes. So what does that teach us? Kishalaka, once he has been demeaned, he's been lashed and demeaned, what are we calling this fellow? Harehu ke'achicha, he is considered like your brother. Because why do you have to say achicha? Just say v'nikla le'enecha. Let him be demeaned before your eyes. Why do you have to say let your brother be demeaned? We know who we're talking about. So that means he now is back to being your brother. In other words, the point is, when you get kares, you're cut off from your people. So then he's not your brother. Someone who has done a kares violation and has not done teshuvah, he ain't your brother. This is the same as saying that he loses his status of brotherhood. The Torah testifies that when the person is lashed, he regains his brotherhood, and the kares, the cutting off, is thereby rectified. Okay, that's all. Divrei Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. That's Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel's opinion. Okay, even though it's interesting, there's no other view stated. The Gemara later is going to say there are Tanaim who disagree with Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. Usually the Mishnah, if you're going to say a name, you're going to say another name is going to argue. Or else just don't say any name. But we'll see later, the Gemara is going to bring people who argue with him. Okay, that's point number one. Second statement, Ve'amar Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel, another statement of Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel, which is not halachic at all, but more of a moral lesson, like this. Ma im ha'over avera achas noitel nafsho alav. Now, if a person commits a single transgression and you get kares for that, what happens? Noitel nafsho alav. He gives up his life because of it, because he's cut off one avera. So let's flip it around. A person who does one mitzvah, alachas kama v'kama shetinasan el nasho, all the more so should his life be given to him. In other words, the rewards that Hashem gives to a person is always 500 times the amount of the punishment. That's the idea, as we say in the Aseres Hadibros. So now, we don't have to get into the details of that, but so certainly that. Okay, that's a very interesting statement, because again, you know, I guess you'd have to look at what kind of a aver, what kind of a mitzvah we're dealing with over here. So, in other words, so how much more life he's given, it's a great thing. I guess any small mitzvah. We get that. Although we're not every avera gives kares. You see, some averas don't give kares. But now he's assuming that every mitzvah is 500 times greater than a kares avera, which is an interesting statement.
Doesn't absolve the avera.
Remember, you get rewarded for what you do, but you get punished for what you do as well. So it's not one thing cancels the other.
Exactly.
But you have to deal with everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says, this principle, mimkomo hulameh, this principle can be derived from its own concept. In other words, he's saying a kalvachomer. He's saying it's a kalvachomer, tell me what you're going to get. So he say, why don't we do it simple? We could do it much simply. From the very section where the Torah deals with kares, we could prove it without having to have a kal v'chomer. Shenemar, the pasuk says like this, when a person does the, these are the averos of forbidden relations. It says, v'nichresu ha'nefashos ha'asos, The people who perform these relations will be cut off from among their people. Okay, that's one thing. The Omer, and it says in the verse right before that section, at the top of Chaf Gimel Beis, Asher Yasa Osama Adam Lachaibahem. This is the whole pasuk. It says, this is an Achrimos, you shall guard my statutes and my laws, which man carry out, and by which he shall live. Now, what are statutes and laws? So that's referring to the negative commandments in the next passage. Those are the Kores-bearing unions. So a person abstains from them. What's it saying? If you follow the following laws, it means you abstain from it, you are v'chaibahem, and you're given life. So the pasuk says you're given life. Right? We start by, before we get to the Kares punishments, we have an introduction. It says, don't do like the Canaanites.
Is that
don't
a mitzvah?
If I refrain from doing the Avera, that's also positive.
Really?
Right?
Don't
if you refrain it? From it, if you're
that's
tempted to do it,
mitzvah?
And you
that's
refrain,
by
yes?
By not doing something, it goes to the positive ledger? But
if you're tempted to do it.
If you're tempted.
Okay, we're saying,
okay.
So therefore, if you abstain from that,
yeah.
That's considered to be carrying out a law in your given life.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now, if you look at the entire section, I don't like it when it brings that. Let's get the whole section. I wish it would give you all the psukim. Okay. Here's the introduction. After the doings of the land of Egypt where you dwelt shall you not do, and after the doings of the land of Canaan where I bring you shall you not do, nor shall you walk in their ordinances. Don't do like them. You shall do my judgments, to keep my ordinance, to walk with them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Okay? So you're telling, if you go in my way, Then you're going to live, right? And then the very next section, it talks about none of you shall approach any who is a near of kin to you, etc., etc. I'm the Lord.
Yeah.
And it goes through all those you shall not do. And at the end, it says you get kares.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're saying, if you keep my laws, you're going to live. So clearly, the Torah is saying you're going to live. You don't need a kal v'chomer for that.
It says you shall live in them.
It means you live.
Yes.
Well, what does it mean to live in them?
It means you follow the law.
And you will have life from this. God will give you life.
Sinners live too, but not
no,
what?
No, it gives you life. You will live in those mitzvahs. Those mitzvahs are life-giving.
But you don't get extra life because of that.
You get extra reward, and that's
reward.
Extra life.
Life.
Extra life. Quality of life. Right?
What right.
If Kares, are you dead? You're not dead. You're cut off. Okay? You're alive, but you're cut off.
Yeah.
So you could be alive and close and much more vibrantly alive.
Maybe spiritually you are dead.
Well,
that's death.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The point is, have you done a sin that has damaged you significantly to the point that you're not spiritually alive? Yes. Just because you're alive doesn't mean you're alive.
That's right.
If you're doing mitzvahs, you are now vibrantly alive.
We're not talking about physical life here.
Of course not. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Okay. Now the Gemara asks your question, guys. Oh, not it's telling you the conclusion of that. Your guys like wondering on this. It's all still part of the Mishnah. It's a long Mishnah. This means kol hayoyishev lo avera. Anyone who sits and desists and does not commit a transgression, noisn leishchar koyis a mitzvah. He's given reward like someone who does a positive mitzvah, like putting on tefillin. Now, the Gemara in Kedushin says it only applies when the opportunity for the aver presents itself, yet you resist.
The text is not there.
Okay, or Rashi has, if one restrains one's evil inclination and thus refrains from sin, there is no mitzvah superior to this. So in other words, when you have a desire to do the aver and you don't do the aver, it's reward as if you did the mitzvah. Because that's the proof from that pasuk. Because these psukim are talking about not doing averos. But it's not talking about doing mitzvahs, but not doing an avera when one is tempted to. It's better than doing a mitzvah. Okay, now, Reb Shimon bar Rebbe Omer, Reb Shimon, the son of Rebbe, says, Harei Omer, it says in Sefer Dvorim, it says, Rak chazak levilti echolas adam ki adam onefesh. Torah says, strengthen yourself, don't eat blood of animals, because blood is life, in order that will be well for you and your children. So it's a mafera, you can't have blood. Okay, now you're wondering, why would you want to eat blood? You go to England, you go to fancy restaurants, they serve you blood pudding.
What? Oh my gosh.
Yes.
That's what it is.
It's a real blood?
Yes.
Yeah.
It looks like blood.
Blood really? Pudding. Blood pudding.
I thought it was an expression. Yeah.
No, it's just a fancy right. name. That's that's disgusting. It's big blood.
You have a why? It's just blood.
Steak, you're eating blood.
Anyway, whatever. So now, let's think about this. It says, so you strengthen yourself not to do it. Okay, so in other words, we're saying there is an avera for having blood. You're not supposed to have it. Now, the Mishnah analyzes it. Let's take a look at blood. Generally speaking, unless you're a vampire, shenafsha shalotam katsamimanu, a person is loath to want to have any blood. And still, if someone stays away from it, you get a reward. So clearly, gezel varai is theft and immorality. That's the opposite. Shenaf shalotam isavlem. A person desires that umacham dosam and covets them. Zahaporesh mehem alachas kama v'kamashi iskalo. Someone who separates from him all the more so will merit for himself. Uladorosav and for his generations, Uladoros Dorosav and for his generations, Atsoka, till all the generations, you will be rewarded for that. Right?
There's no guarantee that the generation future.
You get reward. No, that's the 500 times the reward. Okay? So, although the Gemara states that one is rewarded for passive observance, although he has a desire to transgress, it's possible a person would desire to eat blood merely to savor the taste of the forbidden. There's some people who just like to have that which is forbidden. But it says in the Ten Commandments that the rewards goes for 2,000 generations. Children benefit from the things that you do. And now we have the famous statement that we say whenever we want to say a rabbi's Kaddish. Rabbi Hanani ben Akashima, Rabbi Hanani, the son of Akasha, says, Ratzah Kaddish Baruch Hu Lizkei Yisrael, Hashem wants to bring merit upon the Jewish people. In other words, he wants to give them much more reward than what they're doing. Lafika, thereby, Hebel of Torah mitzvahs, he heaped on upon them, gave them many, many, lots of Torah and lots of mitzvahs. Shnemer's the Pasuk says, Hashem chafetz laman tziko. Hashem desired for the sake of the Jewish people's righteousness. Yagdil Torah here. The Torah is expanded and strengthened. So he wanted to make the Jews righteous with lots of rewards. So he gave us lots of commandments so we could get them by observing them. Now, let's see what this commentary has to say. The Torah stated many admonitions against eating abominable creatures, crawling things, and carrion, even though people would abstain from them in any case. God's purpose was only to increase Israel's reward by making a mitzvah abstain from them. Okay, now, I would also suggest, as time has passed, the most disgusting things are now something that people enjoy to do.
Delicacy.
I mean, generally speaking, you know, homosexual relations, most normal people weren't interested in it. But you can start convincing yourself that it's something to enjoy. So, you know, there's a lot, you know, like you look at, you know, people, what they do with their hairstyles. I mean, they're mishuganers. You know, you dye your hair green. You know, it's not normal, but you've convinced yourself it's cool. You know, it's like the emperor with no clothes on. So it comes to a time that people, what's disgusting, because it's disgusting, will do it, and that'll be amazing. So, you know, you watch, it has to be, there will be a time where it's going to be great, you know, blood fests. Festivals and all these narishkeit, you know, eating disgusting things. That's part of that every time. And what if, yeah, vampires? I'm saying, what you find in, what do you call those? What do you call in the university, the brotherhood clubs? What do you call fraternities? They make eat a goldfish. That was to be in the 50s.
That would be mild today.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, eat a gold. Now, why in the world do you eat a goldfish? Or to fit 40 people in a telephone booth?
Yeah.
So you see, it's just something stupid, right? And people die. Crazy things. So that people will do these things. Okay, now, the Rambam writes, this is very important, this is a very famous Rambam. It's a fundamental principle of the Torah that in order to merit eternal life in the world to come, a person must fulfill at least one mitzvah properly with complete devotion to God. This mitzvah must be performed without incorporating in it any personal interest in the observance, intending it only to fulfill God's will with love. Therefore, God gave us an abundance of mitzvahs so that every person should in his lifetime observe at least one mitzvah perfectly and thereby merit eternal life. One of the commentaries says that each person may have a strong inclination towards a different mitzvah. God therefore gave many mitzvahs so that every person will find his own spiritual niche and give his mitzvah particular care. That's the Rambam. The Maharal argues at length against the Rambam's view of a single perfectly observed mitzvah that will enable one to merit the world to come. Meshech Chachma has a novel interpretation of Chanani ben Akasha's statement. He learns like this: Hashem desired to lezakos can also mean to purify Israel. Zaka can mean to bring merit. It can mean to purify. So here he's saying to purify. Therefore, he gave them Torah mitzvahs in abundance. Torah, Meshech Chachma explains, in order to foster a correct intellectual outlook and mitzvahs with which to supplement all of humans' physical and emotional urges into the service of God. This extremely familiar statement, our Mishnah is printed universally at the end of Pirkei Avos. Rashi, the Pirkei Avos, teaches that since the rabbi's Kaddish was recited only after a study of Haggadah, an Haggadic portion of the Talmud was chosen as a standard recitation after every public study session, etc., etc. Of course, Masor Shas asked, why have to do it after Pirkei Avos? Pirkei Avos is Haggadah itself. But that became the custom. So normally, in other words, you don't say a Kaddish after learning Gemara. But you have only Agadah to you say a rabbi's Kaddish. So we always say that line of Agadah to us. So it's like you're learning something there. Now, what I would just add to the Meshech Chachma's, the Maharal's criticism of the Rambam, he's saying, what do you mean? You do one mitzvah and you get a merit to the world to come. So you have to realize, once you do one mitzvah perfectly, then there's a good chance that other things are going to follow suit. You know, because that's a connection. Once you made one good connection, right, then you can maybe get other good connections. And again, you know, you get the world to come, and, if you do averis, you're still going to get punished. That works out as well. So take advantage of all the mitzvahs that Hashem gives us. Okay, that's the Mishnah. We now go back to the Gemara. We come back to that first statement of Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel, who said that if you did an aver that comes with karis and you get lashed, then it takes away the karis punishment. That was the subject at hand. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, on the Gemara now. Chalukim alav chaverav shel Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel. Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel's colleagues disagree with him. Okay, now the Gemara now is going to confirm Rabbi Yochanan's statement. Amar Ravada Barava. Rav Ada Bar Ava says, Amre Be Rav, they said in the yeshiva of Rav, okay, the same thing, Taninan, this may be proven from a Mishnah which was said, Ein Bein Shabbos Yom Kippur, there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, okay, generally they're pretty much the same. This Mishnah is taking things that are generally the same and showing where the difference is. Now let's look over here. The Mishnah here refers only to the penalties inflicted upon desecrators of the Shabbos and the Yom Kippur. The restrictions, however, there are differences between the 2 days, but we're not talking about the restrictions. We're talking about the punishment. On Yom Kippur, one must fast and abstain from washing, applying lotions, wearing leather shoes, and marital relations. On the Shabbos, of course, these restrictions don't exist. So we already know there's a lot of differences between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. This Mishnah is talking about in terms of the punishments. And here's the difference between your Mechal Shabbos and your Mechal Yom Kippur. I understand, but the punishment for desecrating is different. Elishazeh Zedono Bidei Adam, Vezeh Zedono Bekares. That the one who flagrantly, deliberately violates the Shabbos, you get punished by mankind by getting stoned. If you purposefully desecrate Yom Kippur, you get karis. Okay?
This is with a warning, right?
Everything is with a warning. It's we don't have to repeat this a million times.
I have to repeat it.
Well, you've got to be warned. You have to know it's not allowed, and you do it.
So you've been cursed about the first karis, right?
No. It's death penalty.
Yeah. You're stoned to death.
Death penalty. Right? Which is not... No. No. Let's... There's two separate things. Kares is worse than a death penalty.
Yeah.
A death penalty, all you lose is your life. Your physical life is taken away from you. Okay? Kares, your spiritual life is taken away.
I thought that even breaking Shabbat is also karet.
No. It doesn't come with kares.
It doesn't come with kares.
You get killed. And if there's no Besdin, well, then God's got to kill you. Got to find a way to kill you over here. Right? Shazona be the other one says, Shazona be Hakaris. Okay? That's the difference. So, Yom Kippur, you know, you're not allowed to go in a car in Yom Kippur. I don't care. I'm going to a car in Yom Kippur. He's desecrating Yom Kippur. Okay, now, if you're going to tell me now, let's go back now. If you do. Now, remember, so something that you get kares, if you get lashed, the kares goes off, right? So he said, there's no difference in Shabbos, Yom Kippur, but the one who fragrantly desecrates the Shabbos, the punishment is from God. Sure. When you do Yom Kippur, the punishment is from heaven, right? Via kares. So now, v'imi isa. But if you hold like this rabbi, that if you get lashed, it exempts you from the kares. So we should say edv. So you should say both Shabbos and Kippur are punishment by human authority. They both get punished by humans. Shabbos, you get killed by humans, kill you, and the desecrator gets lashes. Now, of course, the Gemara is making an assumption. At this point, the Gemara makes an assumption about the Mishnah Megillah. That Mishnah agrees with those who assign Malkus to chorus bearing sins. Remember, we had a whole big machlokes way ago in the beginning of the third parak, where there was a big three-way machlokes if you get lashes for kares bearing sins. According, so that's the Mishnah agrees with those, that opinion. Accordingly, why does the Mishnah state that desecrating Yom Kippur is punishable only by kares, since Malkus administered the kares is absolved? The Mishnah's Tanimus therefore hold that Malkus does not absolve the Kares, which is unlike the viewer of Rav Hananya ben Gamliel. Have we not thus proven that there's a ton of disputes Rav Hananya ben Gamliel? Okay, so that you hear what's going on over here. So again, let's repeat it. Why does the Mishnah state that Desiris is punished only by Kares? Right? Malkus is administered, so thou the Kares absolved. So it must be hold that, so the Mishnah didn't say that. The Mishnah did not say that. The Mishnah in Megillah says, no, it's only in the hands of heaven. So therefore, it must be that Malkus does not absolve it. Right? If Malkus would absolve it, then it should have just said it's just in the hands of man and not in the hands of God. So it must be the Mishnah holds that Malkus does not absolve the Kares, and you still, even if you would get lashed, it still doesn't absolve the Kares. So it's still going to be punished from the hands of God. That's what the Gemara's proof is. So that's the end of the question. It comes out there both in the hands of man. Okay. So now, if you recall, we had a three-way machlokas way back on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, I was going to say, you know what? That's not necessarily true, because that Mishnah Megillah can be like another opinion. Hamani, that Mishnah could be like Reb Yitzchak. It could be like Reb Yitzchak. And what did Reb Yitzchak say? Remember, we had a three-way machlokas there. De Amar Malkus b'chayve krisos leka. He says you don't get lashed by chayve krisos. Period. So that's a whole different bottle of can of worms. You know, do you get lashed for chayve krisos or not? So if you don't get lashed for chayve krisos, there's nothing to talk about. But the opinion of the Mishnah before of Rab Hanan ben Gamliel, he goes like the other opinions who say that you do that there is lashing for Chayv Krisa. So you can't ask it from that Mishnah. And how do we know this? This was that long Gemara. We had two pages on this. The Tani we learned in a Brisa. Reb Yitzchak Omer. Reb Yitzchak says Chayv Krisa. He now comes to how he made his deduction that a Chayv Krisa does not get lashes, and this is his deduction. It says Chayve Krisus Bechlal Hoyu. Chayve, the punishment of Kores that was mentioned regarding forbidden relationships was the general rule. Look at the general rule. At the end of listing all the forbidden relations, it says, Kikol Asher Yasa Mikol HaTavosa Elo, whoever does these abominations, V'nechah Sonav HaShosa Sos Mekarev Amam, that you get cut off, you get Kores. So that's the rule. There's a general rule. So now, how come the Torah is singled out by one of the particular Averos? V'lama yotzos kares b'achoso. Why did it have to say, when it's listing in later on in Kedoshim, it mentions if you're with your sister, you get kares. Why do you have to say that if we already have a general rule that for any of the forbidden relations, you get kares? So what's it doing, therefore? To tell us a rule. The Ladunu Bikores Veloba Malkus, to say that that's it. You only get Kores and you don't get lashed. In other words, you have a general rule. For all the forbidden relations, we're told you get Kores. So why is it single out? If you already know that for all forbidden relations, that it says if you have a forbidden relation with your sister, you get Kores. Why do you have to say that? To tell us that you only get Kores and you do not get lashed. Right? Although we would normally apply the penalty of Malkus to someone who violates a negative commandment, normally you get lashed for transgressing a negative commandment. In the case of incest with one sister, we would expound that he's liable only to Kares, since the Torah emphasized the Kares penalty. By extension, if we know that by one example of Kares that you don't get lashed, so Rabbi Yitzchak derives hermeneutically that this is true of all Kares-bearing sins. They carry the penalty of Kares and not the penalty of Malkus. You don't get lashed. According to this Mishnah, assigns Kares to the liberal violation of Yom Kippur because it reflects Rabbi Yitzchak's view that there's no Malkus for it. But if one follows the other view, there's those who argue on Rabbi Yitzchak that Kores-bearing sins, the sinner does get absolved from Kores by receiving Malkus, that will be Rabbi Hananya will hold like that opinion. So there's a whole big general machlokas. Does a Kores punishment get lashed or not? So this mission that shows there's no difference between Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Megillah, that's going to the rabbi says, we never lash for Kares-bearing things. But Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel, he'll hold like the other major opinions that say you do get lashed for that, and therefore there's not a problem. Okay, Rav Ashi says, what are you talking about? Why do you have to go that far, Omer? No, a few Tema Rabbanan, you could even say that this Mishnah follows the rabbis who hold that one's liable to Kores and you can get lashed. But obviously, there's such an obvious difference. Why was the Gemara asking the question to begin with? There is lessons in Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Shabbos, it starts off with human punishment, period. That is one thing. Yom Kippur does not start off with human punishment. It starts off with Kores. That's the difference. In fact, you can get lashed afterwards, so what? But there's a major difference if you kill somebody and you don't. So, ze ikar zdona b'de'adam. Shabbos, the main retribution, the only retribution against Shabbos is you get punished by man, by being killed. But Yom Kippur, ikar zdona, the main punishment is what? B'de shamayim, it's kares. The fact that he'll get lashed is the back door to that. Okay, so that answers all those questions. Okay, we'll stop it over there.
Okay.
And we'll continue on. We now have one block to go.
Oh, that's it.
So we should finish sometime, not next week. What?
Before the 21st, we're going to finish?
Well,